Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Check one, two, check one, two. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are all having a great day today. It's been a couple weeks. There's a whole lot that's happened in the last couple weeks. Donald J. Trump got elected as President of the United States of America, which is pretty wild. Didn't think that would happen, but I am excited that it did. We want to celebrate because it seemed like our country was on the precipice of either one of two things happening. This is what my gut feeling going into it. It seemed like that either God was going to send us into further judgment and destruction, or there was going to be a turning back towards at least steps in the right direction. Now, clearly, Donald Trump is not a godly man that I want to be my pastor or anything like that. But when it comes to a kind of president that's going to, I think, if he does what he says he's going to do, and it seems like from all his cabinet picks that he is going to do what he says he's going to do, if he really can get the bad guys out, and if he can push back in the direction, in the opposite direction of everything we've been doing for a long time now, if we can get rid of the Department of Education, if we can get the CIA and FBI either shut down or extremely, gutted, if we can get the IRS gutted or removed, if we can get into income tax replaced with tariffs, you know, those sorts of things are all really positive developments. If we can get rid, you know, if the Department of Education goes, my goodness, how amazing would that be? So many great things that seem to be in the works. And so I'm super just excited and hopeful about these things. Clearly, there could be some better movement when it comes to the protection of the unborn. But all things considered, my goodness, I am so thankful and just celebratory. I even went out and got one of those Daddy's Home shirts on Amazon where, you know, Trump's in front of the White House with the pink tie on. And I've been rocking that. Went to the post office with it the other day. And the lady there seemed pretty excited about it. So that's kind of cool. But a lot of things have been going on. Want to get back to the series on the London Baptist Confession today. We're in chapter 10 on effectual calling. And I am so thankful, as you are, as you consider your life and when it was that the Holy Spirit got a hold of you and you were called into the kingdom of God, into the church of Christ. And we're going to consider these things. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help. And then we'll get into our content for the day. Father, we just need help as always. We want to honor you as we think through these doctrines, these biblical doctrines that we just hold so dear to our heart. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for these doctrines, the doctrines of grace. We get to explore them here even today as we look at effectual calling, the fact that your work is not impotent, but it is powerful to save, and that the blood of Christ came out with names on it. And at some point, the Holy Spirit came and applied the very atonement that Jesus accomplished into our own life, into time, space. And so Jesus died for us all those years ago, and yet the Holy Spirit came to lay claim to what Christ procured for us. And we have been brought into the family of God. We're just so thankful for your mercy to us. And so help us to think through this rightly. And always, as always, we want to be biblical and recognize that your word is the highest authority in our life. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and the cabinet picks that they have already put in place. And we'd pray that the Senate would affirm those and that we would see some really amazing things happen from the top down in this country, and then hopefully, God, we can see reformation and revival in our day as well, from the ground up. And we love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, lots of good things. This Sunday, I got to baptize my cousin, his son, Wyatt, And it was a great day. I got to baptize me 17 years old, and he's got some health things that are going on. And it was just an amazing thing to be a part of and watch really just God work in this young man's life. And then after that, we got to do an ordination service for Josh Stowers. And Josh and Hannah have been at our church for the last couple of years, and he's been an elder candidate. I'm just so thankful for God bringing them into our church family, because Josh is just such a sharp guy. He is the sharpest premillennial guy you'll ever talk with. And I'm thankful for that. You know, we have differing views on eschatology, even within our elder team. But when it comes to our you know, confession, we hold to the 1689 as an elder team. And Josh is just such a solid dude, an incredible preacher, and loves people. And Hannah's great. It's just an exciting time for our church family. So yesterday was just a wonderful day. And then we're just back at it today. And we're in our confession again today. But also want to remind you of Rise Nutrition. And if you want to go there, you can get a discount code. Just hear all the ads. Go check all that stuff out and make sure and go get some discounts. Also, check out Barbell Logic as well. Really thankful for Matt and his time and investment in me. I appreciate it very much from Barbell Logic. They're doing great things. All right. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise. Here we go. We have only a few paragraphs. We have four paragraphs, and this is almost identical to the Westminster Standards. Nothing of note to mention when it comes to differences. So let's just go ahead and start with paragraph one. Those whom God hath predestined unto life, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of the state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power determining them to that which is good, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yes, so, as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. I love that last line, that we have been made willing by his grace, that we come freely because of the work of God in our lives, that he causes us to willingly come to him. He draws us in such a way where he changes our hearts and changes our wills. Now, this is something that even Arminians and people that are just run-of-the-mill Protestants, and even, I'm sure, some Catholics out there, whether they realize it or not, they pray for this thing to happen all the time. Because when we're praying for somebody to become a Christian, what are we doing? We're praying that God would change their heart, that he would draw them, even against their will, that he would turn their heart to the Father, and that the Holy Spirit would come and do a work in their life so that they are saved by Jesus. That's what we want. We pray this regularly. That's why praying people, when they're praying for people to be saved, they are not good Arminians. They are good, hardcore, biblical Calvinists, because they're praying for God to do a work. And in that moment, when you want somebody to become a Christian, you don't care. You want God to change their heart, change their will, do whatever it takes for them to be effectually drawn to the Father. And this is what effectual calling is. Those for whom God has predestined, Jesus died for, and those that he died for, he procured their salvation. He procured their, or excuse me, he ratified basically all the work of God in the Old Testament, and that retroactive work of the cross was effective to save people pre-cross, and then post-cross, our redemption was purchased. So redemption accomplished and then applied, if you want to get John Murray and his famous work into it, into the podcast today. And so the Holy Spirit comes and effectually works in those that were predestined unto grace. Paragraph two, the effectual call is God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, nor from any power or agency in the creature co-working with his special grace, the creature being wholly passive therein, being dead in sins and trespasses until being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is therefore enabled to answer the call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it, and that by no less power than that which has raised up Christ from the dead, which raised Christ up from the dead. This is all of grace from the beginning to the end. So when we hear the call, this special call, this effectual call of God, not the general call of the gospel that goes out to all men everywhere, but this effectual call comes to our life, and it's not because of anything good foreseen within us at all, and we are not called to him because of any cooperation with his special grace. This is a passive thing. We are the passive agents, and God is the active agent, acting upon passive agents to bring this salvation to the person. Paragraph 3. Elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Holy Spirit, who worketh when and where and how he pleaseth, so that all are elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the Word of God. So all people are persons that are not capable of being called by the ministry of the Word or the Spirit. They are regenerated. Those elect that die in infancy are regenerated. And also this would be those that are severely mentally handicapped or something like that as well. Paragraph 4. Others, not elected, although they may be called by the ministry of the Word, and may have some common operations of the Spirit. And some of the proof texts here are from Matthew. You could also think about Hebrews chapter 6, 4 and 5. Those are immediate things that come to mind as well. And those are the proof texts. Not yet being effectually drawn by the Father, they neither will nor can truly come to Christ, and therefore cannot be saved. Much less can men that receive not the Christian religion be saved, be they never so diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature and the law of religion they do profess. So some people may outwardly look like they're living the Christian life and frame their lives according to the light of nature. They're able to recognize or ascertain what is true or not, which would be somewhat of an affirmation of natural law, even in this chapter. And they may function in some operations of the Holy Spirit's work in their life, and yet remain unregenerate, not actually effectually called. So if you are have not been effectually called and have had a heart that has been removed of stone and replaced with a heart of flesh and have been born again, then you cannot be rightly called saved or regenerate or effectually called. Effectual calling is different than the general call. It's not just a mere profession. It's not a false kind of faith that lasts just for a season. It is the real deal. This is chapter 10 on effectual calling. I am a full subscriber to chapter 10. Okay, something else that I wanted to kind of just throw out there that I'm going to be talking about, even though I'm going to be doing that series that I announced on the pursuit, the proper pursuit of glory. Also, I'm going to be doing an episode later this week on when it's a proper time of baptism for the Baptist framework. So we are Baptists, and a lot of times you get into this conversation about when to baptize, and some of the Nine Marks guys, they get this idea of you can't baptize young. You need to make sure that they've gone through proper class, proper understanding, that you need to make sure that they're going to be proper voting members of the church. So it needs to be when they're 16 or 18 years old and some sort of arbitrary number of adulthood is put there. But I want to push back on that and say why we baptize young as a church, and then what are some of the markers that we're looking for? And for you as a parent, if you're in the kind of the circles that we are at our church, we're expecting our children to become Christians, every one of them. And so what we're looking for early on is God-given faith. And that's what I want to talk about later this week. And so I want you to be thinking through that. We baptize young, and we do now representative voting. So we do head of household voting in our church. We are not expecting every baptized member to be a voting member, but they're voting based on a household unit. So we can kind of budget for a younger church member that is born again, baptized, and in membership in the church. We kind of budget for them being in membership, but then voting by way of the head of household. So we don't have to wait till they're 16 or 18 years old to welcome them into membership and therefore postpone that baptism. So we're going to be talking about that, and I'm going to give you some things to be looking for, and then hopefully by the grace of God, let's baptize young. They need to know some things, but primarily we're looking for the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.